Today is Pentecost Sunday, and many people wonder, what is Pentecost Sunday? Well, in the Hebrew Bible, Pentecost is an annual harvest festival that occurs 7 weeks after Passover. It is also known as the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of First Fruits. Pentecost feast is one of the three feasts that God gave to Israel by which they worship Him, or when they come to meet Him. There is Pentecost, there is Passover, and then there is the Feast of Tabernacles. These are the three main Jewish feasts where God met with the people. But Pentecost was a very special one, because during the time of Pentecost, the people will come with their harvest, with their first fruits, to come to Jerusalem to present to the Lord. During the period that is called the intertestamental period, you say, what is intertestamental? It is the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In that period, people will call it the silent years, the people of Israel developed another expression for Pentecost, which was to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So more than, or more frequently, Pentecost was celebrated for to remember the giving of the law. So by the time Jesus was born, the Feast of Pentecost in Israel was basically a time to remember the giving of the law to Israel. It was also called a time of renewal. On the Christian calendar, Pentecost Sunday is counted 50 days from Easter. So if you go and do your count, this is 50 days from Easter. From Easter Sunday to now is 50 days. And that is why it's Pentecost. Simply means the 50th. So, Pentecost Sunday for us is a time to commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the early church on the day of Pentecost. And so I'm preaching this morning on the topic, the Spirit-filled life. The Spirit-filled life. Because the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, we use that day to remember living through or under the control of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life. So I'm going to start with a statement that Jesus made about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 to verse number 39. And it reads, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the passage says that this statement Jesus made was in reference to the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to know, to note something in the verse. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast. So this passage is given as the time when Jesus made this statement. And the passage says he made it on the last day of the feast, that great day. The feast in question is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the third feast of Israel. Pentecost is the second one. Passover is the first one. So Passover on our calendar to be Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus made this statement. And why did Jesus make this statement? Because during the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the activities that took place was that every day the priest will go and fetch water from the pool of Siloam and go and pour it at the temple. So every day people go fetch water and go and pour it to signify that God was the one who provided water for the Israelites in the wilderness. And it was also a way of prayer by the people. And it was a time of them to remember God's prophecy that His Spirit will move like water from the temple to touch the rest of the world. So every day of that feast, they will go and fetch water and pour it out. And Jesus watched them doing that throughout the feast. Then on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said, "I am the living water." In other words, what you're doing is great, but I am the real fulfillment of what you are doing. I am the living water. So on the last day of the feast, Jesus said that he was the living water. So while people were going through the ritual, he was offering them the reality. And he said that when we thirst for him, we will receive the true water that he gave. That is the Holy Spirit. There are three stages of the Holy Spirit's presence that we can find in the statement of Jesus. Three stages of the Holy Spirit's presence, if we look at the passage Jesus gave. The first one is what I call the inflow. The inflow is when you are filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, "If you are thirsty, come and drink." So the inflow is for those who come in to drink of what he is offering, the Holy Spirit. When we drink in the Holy Spirit, we receive his inflow. And if anyone is thirsty for the Holy Spirit this morning, you will receive an inflow from him. The second stage that we find in the passage is what I call the overflow. The overflow is when you are flooded with the Spirit. He says that the Spirit becomes a river in us. A river in us. That is when we receive an overflow. Something in us begins to come up to the top and flow out as a river. The overflow. Then the third is what I call the outflow. The outflow is when God allows us to minister through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the outflow is when we flow like rivers of living water. The rivers of living water flowing out of us. So God, the Holy Spirit comes into us, floods us, and flows out of us. He comes in, he fills you to the brim, and then he begins to flow out of you. There are three stages: the inflow, the overflow, the outflow. And the Holy Spirit does that for all believers. He wants to come in, he wants to fill us to the brim, and then he wants to flow out of us. And today, may he flow out of each one of us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit or having a Spirit-filled life starts with the inflow, the overflow, and the outflow. If we're going to live Spirit-filled lives, then the Holy Spirit must be in us. He must fill us, and he must flow out of us. Jesus said many things about the Holy Spirit. Most of those things, he said them in the Gospel of John. He said concerning the Holy Spirit that he will abide with you forever. He said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. John 14:26. He says the Holy Spirit will testify of me, John 15:26. He says the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, John 16:8. He says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, John 16:13. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come, the same John 16:13. He says the Holy Spirit will glorify me, John 16:14. He says the Holy Spirit will take the things of mine and show them to you. And John, at the same John 16:14. So the Holy Spirit is central to our Christian life. He shows us who Christ is. He reveals Christ to us. He teaches us all things. He testifies of Christ. He shows us of things to come. So we cannot really live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. We can't. The Christian life is a Holy Spirit life. So just before Jesus ascended, just before he went to heaven, he asked his disciples to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And 10 days after Jesus' ascension, their disciples received the Holy Spirit, and it occurred on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, that is, from the Passover when Jesus was crucified to the day of Pentecost, that is 50 days. So let's look at the account on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is how the day of Pentecost came. God moved in a mighty way upon the disciples. Now, when we say that God moved, it is a statement that has to be explained. Because God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at every time. So he doesn't need to move to a place to be there. So when we say God is moving, it's not as if God is in America and then when we pray, he quickly comes here to Ghana. Or God is in Ghana and when people are praying in China, God moves there. When we say God is moving, he's not moving as we move. When we say God is moving, we simply mean he's already in the place, but he manifests himself in a place. So a move of God is not movement as we understand it. A move of God is a manifestation of God in a particular place where he already is, because he is everywhere. So he didn't move to the upper room. He was already there. But that day, he stirred up something in that place. So, just to take a note at what happened on the day of Pentecost, there was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The move of God brought about a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit was very profound. It affected the senses of the people. Some of the things that happened outside of the apostles or the disciples. Some of the things happened inside of them to show that when the Holy Spirit is at work, some of what he does happens inside of us. Some of it happens outside of us. The Holy Spirit's work happens inside and outside. Something on the inside working on the outside. So, let's look at the manifestations that happened the first day of Pentecost. First, it affected the sense of hearing. The Bible says they heard a sound from heaven. They heard a sound from heaven. And it was like a mighty rushing wind. It was not a mighty rushing wind. It wasn't as if the wind was blowing very fast in the upper room. They heard a sound like that. So it would be something like, and they were there, they heard it. What they heard was a sound from heaven. God opened their ears to hear a heavenly sound. So one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is that he opens our ears to hear the sound of heaven, to hear things that are spiritual. And may the Lord open our ears to hear heavenly sounds this morning. Not only was their hearing affected, but their sight was also affected. The Bible says there appeared to them tongues, cloven tongues as of fire. As of fire. It wasn't tongues of fire, but it looked like fire. As of fire. Because many times, you know, we generalize some of these statements in the Bible. They saw something on each one's head that looked like tongues on fire. It was not tongues of fire. It looked like tongues of fire. So they saw something that looked like flames that looked like human tongues. So God didn't just open their ears to hear the sound of heaven. He opened their eyes to see spiritually. What they saw was a spiritual vision. And if other people had been there, they wouldn't have seen what they saw, because God opened their spiritual eyes to see. May the Lord open our eyes to see into the realm of the Spirit. So when we have a Spirit-filled life, God opens our spiritual ears, God opens our spiritual eyes. Third thing is the sense of feeling was affected. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a sense of fullness. They had a sense of fullness. It's almost as if you are there and you feel like something has filled you up. You feel full. You feel complete. So the Holy Spirit, does his presence opens our ears spiritually, opens our eyes spiritually, and opens our being spiritually, so we can anticipate and accommodate his presence in our hearts. The fourth thing that happened is that God touched their speaking and they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak. They began to speak. They were filled. The Holy Spirit didn't speak. They began to speak. So there is a work of the Holy Spirit in us, and there is a work of we cooperating with the Holy Spirit. He fills us, we begin to speak. They began to speak. And so their speech was affected. When the Holy Spirit comes, our hearing is affected, our sight is affected, our feelings are affected, and our words are also affected. The Spirit-filled life affects us on these levels. What we hear, what we see, how we feel, and what we say. May the Lord help us to speak his words. So, when this thing occurred to the disciples, they were so overwhelmed. Remember that after Jesus Christ was crucified, they've been hiding from the Romans and the Jews. Because who knows? Everybody thought if they caught Jesus and crucified him, maybe we will be the next. Maybe Peter, maybe Matthew, maybe some other disciple, maybe even the mother of Jesus, Mary, will be caught and crucified. So they were hiding. But when they had this encounter with the Holy Spirit, they stepped out. They stopped hiding. And that's one of the marks of the Holy Spirit. When he comes into our lives, you stop being afraid. You step out boldly to confront whatever is out there in the world. If you are a fearful Christian, you need the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit and you are afraid, then maybe you've bottled him in. Let him flow out of you, because when he comes into you, into your life, there will be boldness. Somebody say, I'm bold. So, they stepped out from the upper room, speaking in tongues. And people were amazed. Because the Jews had come from all over. That's part of what happened on the day of Pentecost. They come from wherever they are. And at this time, the Jews were under the Roman occupation. And so they have come from different parts of the Roman Empire to Jerusalem. And when they came, these were dual language speaking Jews. So there were Jews who understood Hebrew and Aramaic, which was the main languages of the Jews at that time. And they also understood the languages of the places they've gone to live in. And when they came on the day of Pentecost on this occasion, the disciples stepped out and people were speaking all kinds of languages. And the people could figure out, they said, well, but that's from where I came from. That's from the town I live in. That's from the town I live in. From all parts of the Roman Empire, God was communicating supernaturally to tell them that what has happened this day is to take the message of the gospel beyond the Jewish nation to all the other nations of the world. And so he allowed them to communicate to people in their own languages. But something happened that day. As they were filled with the Holy Spirit and were speaking, the Bible says they were telling the mighty works of the Lord. Some people looked at them and said, this thing is not correct. So they said, these people must be drunk. They are drunk. I don't know how drinking makes you speak in another language. Maybe there are people who speak in other languages. They speak German when they are drunk. Or they speak some other language. But they said they were drunk. So it means that probably in addition to speaking in those languages, they were moving in the mannerism of somebody who was under an influence. So something about their movement was not stable. So people say, oh, they are drunk. So being under the influence of the Holy Spirit seemed like they were under the influence of alcohol. So Peter had to answer and say, hey, wait a minute. It's too early in the day for us to be drunk in the first place. The bars are not open. So it's too early. I'm sure if he was in Ghana, he wouldn't have said it's too early. But for the society at that time, he said, it's too early. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Some people get their shots before 9 o'clock. But Peter said, it's too early. By the logic of the time, it made sense. It's too early to get drunk. Since they are not drunk as you think. So listen to Peter's explanation from verse 15 of Acts chapter 2. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Wow. So Peter is quoting a prophecy from an Old Testament prophet called Joel. Joel chapter 2. He had made these statements that Peter is quoting. So Peter is saying, what you're seeing is not alcohol. It is a spirit-filled life in manifestation. It's a spirit-filled life in manifestation. So let me just go through a few things from this passage to show you what the spirit-filled life looks like. What's the spirit-filled life? First, the spirit-filled life is a life that is totally influenced by the Holy Spirit. He influences all areas of our lives. Just as alcohol controls the mind and thoughts of people under its influence, so those under the influence of the Holy Spirit experience a change in their thinking and behavior. When you are under the Spirit's influence, the Spirit moves you where you go. The Spirit changes the way you talk. The Spirit changes the way you walk. The Spirit changes the way you act. Because the Holy Spirit influences us completely. The Spirit-filled life is a life that is totally influenced by the Holy Spirit. How much of the Holy Spirit's presence is in your life. It's not just about speaking in tongues. It goes beyond speaking in tongues to being under His influence. That's the first thing we notice. Second thing is that the Spirit-filled life is when our desires are yielded to the Holy Spirit. He says the Spirit will be upon all flesh. All flesh means all people. Joel's prophecy mentioned men and women, old and young, maids and maidservants, men servants, all classes of people, all ages, genders. But he says the Spirit will be upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit touches our flesh and brings our flesh under subjection. He subdues the flesh. We cannot be fleshly Christians and still be claiming that the Holy Spirit is the one leading us. Sometimes it's not the Holy Spirit leading us, it's anger leading us. It's jealousy leading us. It's lust leading us. You cannot be under the Holy Spirit's influence and still be lusting. Okay, I'll say it again. You cannot be under the Holy Spirit's influence and still be lusting. And still be full of jealousy. And still be full of anger and hatred and bitterness. If He's the one filling you, then your flesh has to be subject to the Holy Spirit. Is that not so? Yes. So the Spirit-filled life is when our flesh, our desires are yielded to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life, number three, is when we experience the Holy Spirit and hear His voice. When we experience the Holy Spirit and hear His voice. Joel, in his prophecy, says, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That is a... Now, you know, when we hear these phrases today, they don't sound strange to us because we've read them over and over. But in those days, any statement like that would be a strange statement. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Are you serious? Why? Because in the Old Testament era, only a few people could prophesy. Only a few people. They were chosen by God to hear from God. It will be Moses who goes to hear from God. It will be Elijah who goes to hear from God. It will be Isaiah who goes to hear from God. It will be Ezekiel who goes to hear from God, or Joel himself who goes to hear from God. And because they were the only ones who could hear from God, after they had heard from God, they will come to the people and say, "Thus says the Lord." They were the only one who could say that because they were the only ones who heard from God. But God says a time is coming that this system will be canceled. And instead of only a few people coming and telling you, "Thus says the Lord," your sons and your daughters shall hear from God, and they can also hear what God is saying. So what the Holy Spirit indicated is the time when somebody must tell you, "Thus says the Lord," is over. The sons and the daughters shall hear from God and shall declare the word of the Lord. They shall speak the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord will be in their mouth. A Spirit-filled Christian, therefore, is one who has an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit and knows His voice. Jesus says He will teach you. He is with you, but He will be in you. He will lead you into all truth. You cannot outsource the hearing of God to a few people as the Old Testament. In the New Testament, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Are you a son and a daughter of God? Then it says you can hear from God and you can speak the word of the Lord. And then it says that not only shall they hear from God, They will speak. They will see. They will see vision. So when the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit-filled life, is when the Holy Spirit enables us to see what God is doing in us and around us. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel would sit with people and he would say, I saw a vision. And the people would wonder, what did you see? Because you'll be the only one who sees it. But God says, in the era we live in, God enables us to see what he's doing in us and around us. A spiritual vision is the ability to see spiritual realities. Jacob saw a vision at Bethel of the heavens open. His vision didn't create it. It was already happening. What the vision did was to make him see what was already happening. Joshua saw the angel of the Lord just before the battle of Jericho. Elisha saw a vision of chariots of fire and horses taking Elijah to heaven. Elisha's servant saw a vision of a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. Each one of them saw what God was doing in the realm of the spirit. So he says, in this time, when you are filled with the Spirit, you will also see what God is doing. And you can discern what God is doing in the realm of the Spirit. So, the visions they saw was already happening. There are things happening now, whether you see it or not, they are happening. Because at this time, there are angels in this place. Because the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around the dwelling of the righteous. Wherever you go, there are angels with you. When you come, there are angels with you. That is why when anybody sees a vision of you, they should see angels around you, not demons around you. Because if you are a child of God, you are surrounded by the angels of God, not black cats and demonic vultures. But God enables us to see. May the Lord open your spiritual eyes so you would see, you will discern what he's doing in your life and around you. And then Joel says, I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. When we live the spirit-filled life, God showcases his signs and wonders through us. God showcases his signs and wonders through us. So this is what Peter said. He said, everything that has happened is a fulfillment of what happened, what Joel prophesied. How does it correspond? He says, they will see visions. Did they see vision in the upper room? Yes. They saw cloven tongues as of fire. He says, they will prophesy. They will hear from God and declare it. Did they hear from God? Yes, they heard from God. They heard the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And they spoke the word of the Lord. So what Joel said will happen, happened exactly like that in the upper room. That experience is not gone. The Holy Spirit did not come on the day of Pentecost and then fly away. Because there are people who see the Holy Spirit as a dove. So it's almost as if he came, boop, 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 day of Pentecost. After them, boop, 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 he's gone. Remember, he doesn't change locations. He's everywhere. And this morning, the same Holy Spirit is here. The same Holy Spirit is here. And just for a few minutes before we close, we're going to pray. And I believe God will give you experiences of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for an experience with the Holy Spirit? Let's all rise up together. Let's rise up together. We have just about 3 or 4 minutes to pray. But we're going to pray intensely. Lift up your hands to God. And just say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just pray and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. To the overflow, flow through me, flow out of me. Holy Spirit, fill me. I'm thirsty for you. I'm thirsty for you. Fill me and flow out of me. Begin to talk to the Lord in prayer. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Oh, yes. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Yes, 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 yes. His presence is real. His power is real. His presence is real. His power is real. There is a reality of the Holy Spirit this morning. Fill your people, O Lord, to the overflow. Fill lives. Fill people watching on television. People watching online. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. 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 And pray and say, Heavenly Father, open my ears. Open my eyes. Open my ears. Open my eyes to the realm of the Spirit. Let me hear. Let me see. Let me speak the words of heaven in the name of Jesus. Begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to talk to the Lord. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Lord, let there be an explosion of spiritual sensitivity. Explosion of spiritual sensitivity. May your spiritual eyes be open. May your spiritual ears be open. May your tongues be loosened in the name of Jesus. Help me to hear. Help me to see. Help me to hear. Help me to see, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, talk to the Lord. 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 Be spiritually activated. Spiritual activation. Spiritual activation. Your vision activated. Your dreams activated. Your hearing activated. By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Spiritual activation to take place in the realm of the Spirit, in the lives of God's people, in the name of Jesus. Finally, I want you to pray and say, Lord, work signs and wonders through me. Say, Lord, work signs and wonders through me. Miracles, power, power, power seen through me. Out of me, signs and wonders, testimonies coming out of me in Jesus' name. Just pray for signs and wonders to be manifested in your life. In the name of Jesus, let there be manifestation of signs and wonders, supernatural acts of God working in God's people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we seal up these prayers that from this moment there will be spiritual activation in the lives of your people. There will be massive outflows from your people. Signs and wonders. Supernatural understanding. Supernatural activation taking place in your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God praise, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.